You said meet people where they are. So you may be looking at where Kevin is, starting a podcast in the middle of a part to be able to talk about the word of God. You like, bro, I can't even talk to the person next to me. But start there.
Yeah.
You don't have to be at this position or this title or whatever the case may be. Start what you know. Get one. If it's one scripture that you know, like the back of your hand, get that one. And when somebody come up to you, I'm going to tell you Proverbs 3:5. Right. Trust in the Lord. Lean not. I don't care what the conversation was about. I'm going to bring it right back to Proverbs 3:5. Because that's what I have right now. That's what I have an understanding of. So I may not be able to go through the whole Bible. Right? Not saying that I'm not trying to get there or understand the word. But in this season, this is the word that I have.
Welcome to A Christian Podcast, the podcast where we have Christ-centered conversations. I'm your host, Kevin Wilson.
Welcome to another episode of A Christian Podcast with Kevin Wilson. I'm Kevin Wilson. I got some special guests with me today. I'm going to go to my left and allow everybody just to say their name and introduce themselves real quick.
My name is Star.
And my name is Clyde.
Shay.
Cool. So today we are talking about how to be carriers of God's presence, or being carriers of God's presence. And so before we get into that, we got some announcements. One, I want to shout out to all the people that watch online. It's been crazy. Like, I put it in one of the other episodes and I'm like, yo, where are y'all from? And I'm seeing like Uganda, I'm seeing Zimbabwe, I'm seeing Australia. It's people in the Discord like, yo, I'm from Australia. We're not even like we're talking about totally different time zones. So put it in the comment. Just put your name and where you're from. A lot of people have been throwing a flag emoji in there. So do that so we can see where you're from. And even if you're from the States, let us know what state you're from. But I've been just super blown away about how people have been finding it. So that, and then you got merch. If you're in person, feel free to go grab some merch afterwards. If you're online, feel free to hit the link in the description. And before we get into that, before we get into the show, I just want to ask my my question that's not so serious. All right, so you got a hippo, you got a tiger, and you got a gorilla, and an alligator. That's four, yeah, and an alligator. Which one do you think you have a chance of standing the most with, of making it out alive? You got a hippo, tiger, alligator, gorilla. I'm gonna tell you off top, I'm going with alligator. There's no way there's no way he's gonna kill me. There's no way. I'm running around, I'm doing whatever I need to do. What y'all got?
I'm going hippo.
Hippo?
I'm going hippo, bro.
What's your strategy?
Let me tell you why. Okay.
Break it out.
Okay. Nah, bro, I'm going hippo only because I feel like it's gonna like how it's gonna get me is like the teeth, right? They're gonna try to eat me. Right. So if they can't catch me, can't eat me.
Alright. You know hippos are kinda fast though.
I'm fast.
Alright. Alright. You say if you fast, I'm faster. The adrenaline better kick in.
I hope I'm not the only one that the hippo is chasing, because I ain't gonna be that fast, just faster than you.
Right. No, man. I ain't gotta be the fastest, just can't be the slowest. Okay. I feel you. Star, what you got?
I think I'm gonna also go hippo. I might not be fast, but I hit a little juke right there, I think I'm gone.
What you got there?
How long you got?
You got an hour in the same area. Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like a runaway, and if you get away, you good type thing. It's like you're in this. Let's say like a football field size.
I'm gonna switch right away to alligator.
I'm gonna switch to alligator.
I feel like I've washed
it. So y'all plan was to literally outrun it, like away.
Oh, sure. I had time to get away.
No, you stuck for an hour.
An hour, yeah. Now I'll take an alligator. I've seen some videos of guys wrestling alligators, so I think I could.
I have too. That's what made me think. I could, you know what I'm saying? You just get on top of one, you good. They can't really open their mouth that well, so you straight.
No.
Shay, what you got?
I'm gonna go gorilla.
Gorilla?
Just to be different. Just to be different. Just to be different.
Different than dead.
might be like Tarzan. You know, they might be like, all the little light skinned dude right there. What's up, bro?
They might respect you. They might be like, hey, you come out the king of the jungle. All right, what y'all got? Just yell it out. What y'all got?
Alligator.
Who said gorilla?
Why? What'd you say? Gorilla? What y'all got?
Alligator than hippo.
Alligator, hippo. B, what you got?
Alligator, for sure.
Alligator.
Yeah.
James?
Gator.
Anybody going with the
Nobody going with the tiger?
No.
We're not crazy. What if it was a lion?
Yeah.
Daniel? You know what I'm saying? Daniel had a little. We keep the Daniel anointing? Nah, okay.
We got some.
No, right. It's, they said, look, that anointing was only for him.
Okay. Stop
there. Right. Okay, cool. So I just like to ask a fun question like that at the beginning of the episode. But we're talking about being a carrier of God's presence, right? So the first thing I thought about when I was thinking about this topic is when you when you were younger and your parents go grocery shopping and they tell you to come in, tell you to go to the car and grab all the groceries. There's two types of people. There's one that make multiple trips, and there's one, you got one trip. Which one are y'all?
One trip.
I was a one trip. I was gonna do whatever I needed to do, put stuff on my back, my neck, like everywhere. One trip,
I'm
y'all.
Talking about something. Isn't that too heavy?
One trip. Anybody like just going back and forth? Some of y'all not telling the truth. There you go. You keeping it a bandwidth.
You got any bougie one with a little cart?
Anybody got the cart?
Anybody got the wagon?
Nah. Okay. Got out the wood. Nah. But sometimes we make stuff super complicated, right? When I think about the definition of a carrier, right? A carrier is somebody that takes something from somewhere to somewhere. And I think a lot of us are not carriers of God's presence because we don't have any plan on distributing it anywhere. So you're just a holder. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I describe this? If I'm holding this mic, I'm not carrying it. Because it don't have a final destination. So you carry a baby from one place to another because you got a starting destination, end destination. And so I think a lot of us, I think we miss that. So I want to just talk through that. And like, how do we actually do that? So what does that mean for y'all when you hear that just at the first thought, like being a carrier of God's presence? Do y'all think real deep? Do y'all think super shallow?
I think when I think of carrying, I think of my voice carries. Mm. And so if I am not using my voice, then I'm holding on to whatever I have. And so I think when it comes to carrying, you're responsible for the words that you say. You're responsible for doing something or saying something. Sometimes we have to be, that means that we have to be responsible with our words. Yeah. We have to be responsible with our voice. But it also means that I can't hold whatever God has given me, whatever he's told me to say. I can't hold it myself because that's selfish.
Thanks.
You know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
When it comes to carrying for me, I think in terms of, you don't have to tell people that like you believe in God or that how many miracles God has done in your life. When you're carrying God's presence on you, it kind of just gives people like hope that in a world like full of darkness, like you're finding something to be happy about, and just being able to spread that happiness, in my opinion, is like carrying God's presence.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, for me, it's just about being an example everywhere you go. Like, you don't turn carrying God's presence off. So it's like, wherever I'm at a park right now, so I still carry God's presence. I'm at the grocery store, I still carry God's presence. So just being aware that wherever I am, because he dwells within me, I carry him with me.
Let's talk about that. So how do we get to that place, though, where there is no off switch? Because for a lot of us, especially starting out as Christians, I'm a Christian on Sunday. And Monday through Saturday, it's whatever. It could be anything, right? Or, I spread the gospel on Sunday. Or I'm excited. I worship on Sunday. I do this. I do that. I pray. And then Monday through Saturday, I look like the rest of the world. So let's talk about, how do we actually come to that place of, this is every day. This is no days off. Shout out to the no days off episode. Watch that if you ain't seen it. But how do we get to that point? Any tips or any things? I stayed on the Lord. You better go ahead from the audience.
No matter what.
All right. You better come in from the audience.
Well, I'm just saying, like, read your word on a daily basis, no matter where you at, like you were saying before. Continue to preach the word no matter where you at. Always when you talk, it's just about the Lord. You reading your Bibles. You having your own personal prayer closet. Like never before. Like,
that's dope.
Your number one best friend. Like, when you get that relationship, that you can't when you get in a relationship and you feel like, dang, I can't go without speaking to this person, seeing this person, this person, we should see our Father in heaven. Like you can every day when we wake up, not grab your phone, grab, you know what I'm saying, drop down your knees, pray to him, and just speak with him. You know what I mean? Just speak to me, your boy, like. That's your best friend. I mean, that's my dog.
But. Yeah. But you just said everything, so goodbye. We'll see you next week. I'm going to take my seat. Like, yeah. See y'all in August. No, that's really good. That's really good. Appreciate that.
And to build off on that, I think just being disciplined in everything that you do and just kind of staying focused, like I was saying earlier, Just the little things or just the little qualities that you take from God in terms of just showing your faith in the little things or just being that little glimmer of optimism, I feel like goes a long way for most people.
Yeah. I think what you're getting at is spiritual maturity, right? And just in growing in the Word of God, growing in that relationship. Like she said, if you're in a relationship with someone, you want to speak to them every day or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And so in this relationship with Christ, it's about spending that daily time, spending that, and being intentional about it, right? And then as you grow, you recognize, like, there's a lot in this world that is contrary to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think we have to remind ourselves, God is good, right?
Facts.
And so since God is good, why wouldn't I want to share him with someone else who doesn't know that,
yeah.
that doesn't recognize that. And so it's like you said, holding on to it and, mm-hmm. and being a hoarder of God's goodness.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it.
So what happens then, right? So if it's truly good, like if there's a restaurant that's good to you, you going to tell your best friend, you going to tell, hey, you need to come to this restaurant.
Facts.
Why isn't it the same with God?
100%.
Man, you talking. If you got a sale, every time there's a sale, like y'all heard about, y'all remember when Sheets was giving gas out for like a dollar or some change? Everybody and their mama went to Sheets and got some gas, right? Good news is meant to be shared, right? And so if y'all are crazy. So if I'm not sharing the good news, right? If I'm not sharing, how can I? Only person that's gonna know is good is me. You know what I mean? And so if I'm a hoarder, like you said, a gatekeeper of the gospel.
Gospel gatekeepers.
Okay. Ooh, y'all are crazy.
Yeah, we all win today. Let's get it.
Okay, because if...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
Come on, Bishop.
He can go where I go because he's inside of me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? And so because he's in me, I can express him through my love for other people. Mm. Right? I'm loved so I can love. He's good so I can be good to others. Right, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm in the Word. Okay, so I can carry him with me because he can. I think we have to get to a part of like you're saying, like spiritual maturity. We have to get to a part of and to a place that he's a part of our day. He's a part of our life. So I'm a room changer. I'm an atmosphere shifter because I brought him with me. You feel what I'm saying? I'm stopping.
Nah, you good.
Thermostat, not a thermometer.
You good? Yes, sir.
Set the temperature of the room.
Yes, sir. Okay. Where'd I go? So, a lot of people don't carry God's presence because they're not aware they have access to it. So, with food, it's super tangible. I just ate this food. It tasted good. Boom. Great. I know I have it. Yo, Che, bro, it's this little empanada spot up the street. Da da da. Cool. You got to check it out. Easy. A lot of people are not aware either of God's presence, that they have access to God's presence, that through the Holy Spirit, God can live in you. And so what you're not aware of is of no use to you. If I put four $25 gift cards in your backpack earlier today and you never knew and I tucked them deep away, you probably never find them. Or if my goal was like, yo, give them away to people, but I never let you know that you had them, it's of no use to you because you don't know. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
I think it really comes down to what you've said about just kind of sharing that access and most people, it's so hard to kind of, when you live in the world, it's so hard to recognize how easy that access is to God. Because some people will look at me and they'll be like, yo, how come you're always so happy? And to me, it's like, what do I have to be mad about? What is there not to be happy about? And that's just strictly just from God, because he's blessed you with so many things. And until you sit down, you can't count on your fingers how many times or how God, right, how good God is to you until you sit down and actually take the time to look at it. So I do think when it really comes down to it, it comes down to taking the time to recognize how accessible God is.
Yeah.
And how close he actually is to you.
That's good.
I'm thinking about Matthew 5:14, and it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, right? And so if neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, right? And so we have to make sure that we are not putting our light under a bowl, right?
Yeah.
Also, when it comes to being a light, God is the light of the world, mm-hmm, right? And so through his light, we are now light, right? Yeah. And so when we talk about access, we have to make sure that we are not allowing things into our light to dim our light, yeah, right? And so we have to be very careful what we allow, what we see, what we hear. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, we have a shared responsibility as believers, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can, you know, the Bible talks about us going ye therefore, sharing the good news. We have a shared responsibility to be the light of the world because the world is so dark, yeah, right? And if we do not shine, everybody's in darkness.
Yeah.
You know?
Question. Now that you're saying not to allow people to dim our lights, I do feel like sometimes when people do see that peace kind of radiating off of you, there's some, at least for me, some people find the right buttons to push with me at the right times. And I know for me, that's something that I do struggle with in terms of kind of reining it back in and taking a deep breath and being like, not going to let this get to me versus like allowing myself to be triggered. How do you guys deal with that?
That's a great question. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? So the first thing is to recognize that a person might have done it, but a person might not be behind it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so God has an agenda. We always, you know, quote God, Jeremiah, like, God has plans to prosper you, to harm you. I mean, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future, right? We quote that, but we don't always acknowledge the fact that the devil has plans that are contrary to that, right? And so to your point, if I am a carrier of light, if I am a carrier of God's presence and I do have his joy, also the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And so if I can't kill and destroy in this way, I'm going to try to steal the little bit of joy you got right now. I'm going to try to steal this peace and joy and happiness that you got right now. Let me just push his buttons a little bit just to get on your nerves, just to get you out of that. And so, one, recognizing that, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then it goes through, this is Ephesians 6. It goes through and gives you the full armor of God. And so, one of those is the belt of truth, right? The shield of faith. And the feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, right? So, when I put all of these things on, I have to recognize the truth is, I have joy. Joy is not circumstantial. That's why you say, like, earlier you were like, yeah, I'm always just happy. It's not happiness, it's joy. Because the thing is, you can have terrible circumstance and still be joyous. Because it's not my joy is a fruit of the spirit.
Yep.
You're not, you can't, what do we say? The world did give it, the world can't take it away. My coworkers didn't give it. My coworkers can't take it away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The person up the street, they didn't give it, so they can't take it away. And so part of that is we talk about not being a hoarder of God's presence, but there are certain things that you got to say, this is mine. This joy I got, you're not taking it. You didn't give it to me, you're not taking it. This peace I have, you didn't give it, you're not taking it. And so through holding firm to those things that he's given us, we actually display the fruit of the spirit and allow people to experience a realm of God's presence that will otherwise not be made known to them.
Just to piggyback on that, people need to feel like they have hope in the world, right? Yeah. People are they need to experience you. You know, people need to experience you. And so I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm like, you know, I feel like God has told me, like, don't be the reason why people can't experience freedom, right? Because, you know, your obedience is the key to the freedom of others, right? And so if you are not being the light, people don't get what they need, right? So it should give you a sense of authority to, like, okay, I'm not going to allow somebody to steal my joy, because somebody has to experience the joy that I have, right? Because, you know, you see all throughout the world, people are hanging on to something. They're hanging on to, usually it's fear, if I'm being honest, but usually they haven't experienced the joy, the peace, the love that you've experienced, and they need to know that they can have that, right? And it's not just specific to me. You can have the same joy that I have. You can have the same peace that I have. You can have the same love that I have, because I've experienced it. You can experience it too. That makes sense?
Yeah. You tap in. Check your heads up. Nah. Obedience. Touched on that, right? Part of being a carrier of God's presence is obedience. Also,
for a month and 17 days. Don't ask me why I know the exact number. but it was my first week here. Went through my first week of work. Friday, I ended up feeling kind of just stressed out. And I was like, you know what? Tomorrow's Saturday. Not going to think about work. Not going to touch work. Just going to kind of explore the city. So I'd been on Greenway Trail. Greenway Trail brought me to Freedom Park. And from the moment I stepped into Freedom Park, there was just like a overwhelming sense of peace. And I was like, oh, this is the spot that I'll be at. And so I had just left. And then something was telling me to come back, because I wanted to catch up on my daily devotional for the week. And so I was just walking around the park, and I started off on that side, and there was open spots, but I was like, you know what, let me walk fully around the park. Ended up on this side, saw their podcast going on, and decided to kind of just sit in the back near the trees, just to kind of take in what they were talking about, because it sounded just really good. And then Jerkayla invited me over, and the rest is history, and now I'm up here on this podcast.
Like, yeah, so, no, clap it up for God. Let's take a moment. Clap it up for God. God is great. Started and been baptized since then. Like, so much has happened in that time. But guess what? Here's the piece. When I say obedience and being spirit-led, he said Jarkayla went to go grab him from the tree and, you know, said, do you want to come over? If Jarkayla's just like, I don't know, he might think I'm crazy. He might. But if not, who knows? God, and God's sovereign. He could have worked it out a different way.
I wouldn't have came over. I told you this. I was sitting back there, and I was like, in my head, I was doing the math. I was like, I do need to find a church. I'm probably going to get baptized soon. But if she didn't come over, I wasn't going to come over. Because I told God, I was like, God, I'm not going to go over there. But if someone comes to get me, I'll pop in for a little bit. And it worked, so.
Those that are led by the Spirit are the children of God. That's what the word says. So look, if she's like, yo, nah, I don't want to do that. All of this stuff. And so we sometimes look at people on the podcast, or we look at preachers and this and ministers and people on Instagram, and we think, man, I'm not doing what they're doing. But if you're obedient, you're doing what God told you to do. It don't matter what they're doing. Because, and the other thing is, in this case, we were able to see the fruit of it. Jarkayla was able to see the fruit of it. Not in every case, though.
Right.
That doesn't mean the fruit doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So sometimes you might be thinking, when God told me to speak to that person at the store, that's a little weird. I'm not doing that. Or you might have done it and felt like nothing happened. They didn't respond to the word I gave them or anything. Now I feel crazy. You don't know what that one thing of obedience that you did could have meant for that person, could have changed the trajectory of that person. So being obedient is part of being a carrier of God's presence.
Alright, so it reminds me of the scripture, like, and I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but like, some plant, some water, right? You all, you're there? Ooh, we locked in. Okay, cool. That's great. No, I like that. Okay.
1 Corinthians 3 and 6.
Thank you, sir. And so we all play a part in this thing, right? We all have a, you know, something that we have to do, all right? But, you know, it's interesting because you're like, you know, if somebody comes over, I'll come. Like, sometimes, you know, we got to get out our own way, right? Yeah, we're the reason why we don't allow God to move,
yeah,
right? Because of our own flaws, right? I don't want to be uncomfortable, right? I don't want, what do they think, I'm weird? Like, what if they're weird, right? But whatever it is, our own flaws can hinder us from being obedient to God, but we have to get our own way and allow him to move inside of us, through us, for us, in us, yeah. Right? Because if we don't, people do not get what they need, right? If she had stood in her way, you would not be here. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's crazy.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm just kind of build up off of that. I mean, when Kevin asked me to be a part of the podcast today, like you said, just kind of stepping out of my own way and just getting the zone of feeling uncomfortable, because like you said, you never know how you're going to touch someone or who you're going to reach just by being yourself.
Yeah, he didn't tell y'all I asked him like 10 minutes before it started. Like, literally, I just asked him why he was sitting right there. Because I just felt, I mean, again, just led by the Spirit. Like, I was just walking, and then I was like, I was like, yeah. And so I was like, yo, yeah. I was like, yo, would you be a part? He's like, yeah. And so just be led by the Spirit. Like, it's not always a huge, I did this super dramatic thing. Sometimes, like, yo, I just felt led to turn left when I normally turn right. You don't know what that could be. Like, if you're obedient and sensitive to God's voice, he's always speaking. And sometimes his voice, we expect it to sound complex or, like, deep. Sometimes it's literally, take the long route today. Yeah. And you don't know why, but then you get somewhere and you're like, you see somebody, like, oh, I ain't seen you in a minute. How you been? Not so good. Now you see why you're here. So just be led by the Spirit and follow him wherever you go.
I was going to ask too, and you kind of answered it, but like, I guess it's for everybody else too. How do y'all know that God is talking to you? Like, that you're hearing from the Spirit? It's cool. Sometimes we can over mystify things. We can make it spooky. Like, God is like, you know, he has a deep voice and he sounds like,
come here. I need you to go over here.
But he don't sound like that, right? Yeah. So how do you know that he's speaking to you?
So, I'm sorry, y'all. I just drew this. But it's like a thought. So you ever like thought of something? You're like, dang, it was good, but it's the Lord speaking to you, not yourself. Mm. You're like, oh, okay. Or it's like silence, and you're like, hmm. You know, I mean, when you're on the highway, you just prayed about something, and a big truck come by, is what you just prayed about is on that truck, like God is speaking. Like, you just gotta see him in everything you do. You know, I mean, you just gotta see him in everything, everyday life, like right now, boom. Or we walk in, boom. I don't know, y'all. You just gotta see him in everything you got going on. I just pay attention. I put him in everything. Like, oh, okay, God could be talking like this. Just one example. I was at home the other night and I was tired and I wanted to go to bed. I fell on that work and then I'm like, dang. So God was like, go walk to the mailbox. I'm like, what? I'm tired, I'm ready to go to bed. But me being obedient, I walked to the mailbox, ran into an old friend who just lost his mom, and he just needs an encouraging word to feel better. I'm like, oh, this is what the walk was for, you know?
Yeah.
But
that's real.
You just hear him. You just gotta quiet yourself down enough to hear the voice. Uh-oh. His sheep will know his voice.
So you
have to really seek him to know his voice and pay attention and also discern. If it's the Lord speaking to you or if the Lord speaking to you or if it's the enemy speaking to you, but you will know. You will know. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You just said something. You said, first of all, you really tapped in right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you saying like, because you said it's your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you decipher, mm-hmm. right, between your thoughts and his thoughts?
Yeah.
From
but if you're seeking him like on a daily basis,
get her
your
chair.
Thoughts will be his thoughts. Your thoughts will be his thoughts. If you constantly seeking him and keeping your eyes stayed on him, be careful what you feed in your spirit. You feed in your spirit more than you feed in your flesh on a daily basis. You are him. You know what I'm saying? Everything you breathe or anything that come out your mouth will be for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So your thoughts become his thoughts.
Deeper than hearing the thoughts, like you said.
I mean, it's not just your thoughts.
It's not just the thoughts, but I would say the fruits really will show you. The fruits is what shows you also. When and how you're hearing him, because like I said, I could have stopped on the other side, but just something told me to keep walking around. And to me, when you go back and you replay those instances, you're like, wait, that was God talking to me right there. Like, that was an instance where, like I said, the fruits will show you, and that's how I'm able to recognize when I'm hearing his voice versus a voice that isn't good for me.
Yeah. Mm.
Amen. Yeah, no such thing as coincidences. Yeah, that's a big one.
Talk about that one day we was out here. Alright, this is what the word say. The word is a sword, right? Right? That divides between soul and spirit. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, thoughts. So the word separates your thoughts from God's thoughts. And so to everybody's point, you can always trace it back to the word. Is this thought in alignment? Would God tell me to do some damage to myself? Would God tell me to hurt myself? Would God tell me to kill myself? Would God tell me to go curse this person out, even though that's what I really felt like doing? Would God, right? You can always trace it back to, is this thought in alignment to God's word? And it might not be a word for word scripture that says this, but it's a principle for everything. And so you can always trace it back to the principle. There's no scripture that says you shouldn't do drugs, word for word. It doesn't say you shouldn't do cocaine. There's no scripture that says that. You're not going to find it. But there is a scripture that says you should be sober-minded. There is a scripture that says present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, pleasing unto God. There's so many principles in scripture that you can find. And so I think there are a lot of other ways, practical ways to discern God's voice. But I think your main one should always be the word of God. And so it's hard to use something as your standard of living if you don't know it. And so that's we don't, you know, when I was young, I'm like, reading the Bible, that's boring, bro. I'm not doing that. Like, I would read it, you know, checking on the Bible up a little bit. I'm not sitting down reading the Bible. But then as you get older, you realize this is life and death. Like, this is literally God in written form. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So when I read these words, I'm reading his thoughts. I'm reading his thoughts, right? Which it says his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. And so there are times where you desire things that are contrary to what he wants, but that word is never gonna fail you. Jay, you have some?
All scripture is God breathed. So
yes, sir.
To add on to your point, it's going back to his word. Like, his word is, how do I know his voice? It sounds like his word.
Yeah.
That is how I make the distinction. Does it sound like his word?
For example, yes. So let's say there's somebody that you text every day. If I take their phone and start texting you, it's not going to be long before you like, this ain't the person. Like, this ain't who you, who are you, right? Because everybody speaks a certain way. Everybody speaks in a certain cadence. Everybody uses certain emojis. Let's go with emojis, right? And GIFs, right? If I start texting you, you'd be like, this ain't Clyde. This ain't Che. Like, you would know because you've had experience through time, through consistency, through relationship. And so it's the same way with the word of God. You start to really get in that word and understand it and know it. Certain stuff pops up and you're like, it might even be stuff that's labeled godly. You go in a certain church and you're like, And I'm not talking about just judging off appearance. And I'm talking about by the spirit, you'll know, that what you just said is not in God's will. It's not in alignment with the word. And so that word is literally a two-edged sword. So use it.
I think there's also, God gives us reminders, different experiences that help us remember to hear his voice or follow his voice. Honestly, I'm an example. When I was like 5 or 6, you know, my mom would take me and my sister everywhere. And I think she would always go to a certain place to get her hair done. But, you know, back in the day, you know, them hair salons were at somebody's house, right? Okay. And so we were heading there to the, like we usually do, to the hair salon. And something told her to just go to the house. But she was like, why would I go to her house? She's at the hair salon, right? And so we didn't go. She ended up trying to go to the salon, and we're like, all right, cool. I remember vividly, like, looking behind me, and there was, like, a green car, right? I'll turn around, look. I'm like, all right. We're stopped at a stoplight. Next thing I know, boom. And the car hits us. We flip three times, spin, the glass shatters. And now I have on my arm a scar. And my mom always says the scar is to remind her that she should always adhere to the Holy Spirit. Mm. Right? The Spirit is telling you to do this. No matter how weird it sounds, no matter, like, you know, but follow the Holy Spirit. Because if not, you know, this is the result, right? And she, it grieves her to that it took all that for her to get. But, like, now I get the example, right? Because get this too. What I don't get now, I'll pass on to my children. Yeah. Right? And now we got generational curses. Now our children having to fight battles that we didn't face because we didn't slay our Goliath. Come on, right? Now my son has to slay it, right?
Yikes.
I'm sorry. Yikes.
You ever had to let something breathe? You just... Let it marinate. There it is. Y'all be cooking. What y'all be cooking? I said let it breathe. They want to use a cooking term. What y'all cooking? Right. Where we pulling up at 2 on Sunday? Okay. What you do today affects tomorrow. Right? Devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, time. You ever decide to read the Bible and you're like, I can't read it right now? Like, I'm sleepy or I'm bad, distracted, or I'd rather be doing anything else except reading the Bible right now? It's like, yeah, I talk about this all the time, but like, that's not coincidence. But it's so deceptive.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you might want to just read a scripture and you think like, I'll read it later. And you may not. But it could be that one scripture that was the voice of God for you in the future. And so because you didn't read it today, tomorrow comes, you're unprepared. This is just the sword of the Spirit. And so it's like, if you don't know it, it's like having an incomplete sword. Like, it's not, it ain't going to cause maximum damage. And so... we in warfare, like we understand that this is constant warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and so if I don't have my sword, it's curtains. Like imagine you go in war, you have nothing, you just got defensive stuff. It's only so long before you can last in there. You might have the shield of faith, but then again, if you ain't been in your word, you might not. So, the word, I know we talk about that all the time. We're okay, read my Bible, Kevin, I got it. But it's like, it's how you live. Like, you cannot live. In him I live and move and have my being. This is him. Right? Oh, man, right, come on. We over here going. We just be like little kids up here, hype, just talking about the word. But, yeah. Let me check. Did y'all put any questions in? Let me see if y'all asked any questions yet. Anybody got any thoughts in the meantime, in between?
I did have one thought I had to throw out there when you were talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is, I think, not having your sword is bad because now you're just getting stabbed up. You can't defend yourself. Okay. But in relation to my people who cook, it's common knowledge that when you're cooking, you're more likely to hurt yourself with a dull knife than with a sharp knife. Right? And so the same thing with the Bible is you can have a sword, but if your sword ain't sharp, you're more likely to hurt yourself than to hurt the enemy, right? And so that's, I think, one of the important parts is because I'd rather not have it because, you know, at least I'm not hurting nobody.
Mm.
But if it's dull, I'm just hurting myself at this point. And so just making sure that, you know, we keep sharpening our swords because it does get dull after use. So you just want to, you know, keep...
That's good. I'm going to reiterate for, like he said, when it comes to cooking, people are more inclined to hurt themselves by cutting themselves with a dull knife than a sharp one. And if your sword of spirit is dull, it's more dangerous than not. hot or cold, I would rather you be hot or cold, because if you were lukewarm, I would spit you out of my mouth. Yeah. Nobody wants lukewarm. Nobody wants a hot chocolate that's lukewarm. I'd rather just have a cold drink, right? Even if it's cold outside, I'd really rather have a cold drink than some coffee that's lukewarm. And so God is the same way, and we need to present ourselves in the same way. Like, I'm either in or I'm out, but I ain't about to be in the middle. Now, that doesn't mean perfect or not imperfect, no, because sometimes sometimes the devil uses that, right? And he makes us think, I'm not all in if I'm not perfect. Now, we all know nobody's perfect, but we don't act like it sometimes. Like, sometimes we hold ourselves to a standard of perfection, and when the moment that we sin, or more specifically, the moment we do certain sins, we fall into condemnation, shame. Now you're not even talking to God no more because you feel like inadequate. And so nobody's perfect. We press for the mark of the high calling, as Paul said, but we also utilize the tool of grace that God has given us and say, hey, I'm trying every day, God. Today I messed up. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Give me the grace and give me the tools. Give me the instruction on how I can move forward in accordance to how you would like me to do that.
And the Bible says that a righteous man falls down 7, gets back up 8.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so what we have to do is stop holding ourselves to this unrealistic standard that we're always going to get it right. Right? Because if we always got it right, we wouldn't need a Savior.
All right now.
Right? And so what we have to, we also have to stop, what we do is when we feel like we're only as good as the streak that we're on, right? I haven't done this certain thing for this amount of time, so I must be good with God, right? And then if we got to be careful though, because then we'll get into this performance-based love. Now I feel like I have to perform and his love is based on good behavior. Does that make sense? And so we have to be really, really careful. You know, we talk about the Ten Commandments. They expose sin. They show you how bad you are, right? The Bible says our best is our filthy rags, right?
Yeah.
So even our good works, even as good as we think we are, right, we're still not good, right? He is good. He's the epitome of goodness. We are not, right? And so when we get to that understanding, like, okay, I'm not good. I need a Savior because I am bad. Now I can depend on His goodness. Right. And now it makes me want to be in relationship with him because I know I need something good. I know I need this good thing.
Yeah.
Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You tapped in.
All of which I said goes back to what you originally brought out in terms of being aware. I have to be aware that I carry the sword of the Spirit. I have to be aware of God's goodness, that God did not give me a spirit of
fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So with everything that I've thought, or the enemy has tried to introduce into my life, into my thought pattern, to say, you can't do this. Who are you to do that? Who are you to speak to that person? Who are you? That gift isn't as powerful or meaningful as the preacher in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. But you going to speak to that person, it means nothing. So when the enemy introduces those ideas, I have to go back to his word. I have to remember and acknowledge that because I carry the Spirit of God, and because this is what the word says, and that I have a sword of the Spirit, mm-hmm. that I don't have a dull knife. I have a sharp knife that's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes, sir.
So once I come to that realization and acknowledge that my God is sovereign, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that
talk.
I ask, think.
Yes, sir.
Then as yes, sir. I come into that acknowledgement, as I come into that,
yes, sir.
It's about actually stepping in to do that, knowing that God said, I did not give you a spirit of fear, to be confident, to go and do that thing, to go ye therefore. All of that comes back to my awareness and my understanding of who God is, but I have to go back and I have to know that this is what his word says and this is who he has called me to be. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's my portion.
And also, man, how I'm going back to your example, bro. How dull or how sharp our knife is, right, going with that analogy, depends on us. It's our choice.
Yeah.
Right? We keep going back. We keep saying that we have to go back to the word. Right? But it's a choice to read.
Yeah.
I'd rather do anything else.
right? Paul says, you know, when I wanted to do wrong, evil, when I wanted to do right, evil was right always present. Like, I want to do right, but, you know what I'm saying? I want to do wrong too, okay? But so it's our choice. It's our choice to choose him, yeah. Right? It's our, we have to choose him daily. We have to choose him sometimes hourly, minute, secondly, right? No, we have to yeah. we have to be intentional with our time. And so how dull or how sharp our knife is depends on us, our choice, right? Mm. And so I'm gonna stop because I felt like you had to say something.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You raise your mic.
Oh yeah, I have a question. Mostly because I know for me, like, I feel like my faith definitely took leaps when I kind of dropped the idea of having to be perfect. But my question is, what's the fine line between being like perfect and like knowing that you're about to like commit a sin, or like how do you like balance your, I don't even know if I'm asking it right, but if no one's perfect, like how do we justify or come to terms with the reasons why we sin? Or I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're at.
Yeah.
I think Romans 8 is the answer. I think. Hold on. We going let's go there real quick. I think. This is all off my head, so y'all might be like, "No." Huh? No condemnation. Is that where you going? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Is that 8:1? Yeah.
Y'all read your Bible.
Hey.
Yeah, no. Speaking I'll about be like if I sharpening did. Our swords, that's one thing that I know I have to like really hop on, because you guys were like deep into it.
Oh, hold on, bro. I want to go to Romans 6 real quick first. I want to go to Romans 6 real quick. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Your question is good, bro. Yeah. All right, here we go. What shall we say then? Uh-huh. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we die who died to sin live any longer in it? Right? I'm going to skip down to 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Therefore, I'm skipping all the way down to 12 now. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lust, and do not present your members, Holy Spirit, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Okay, 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So it's grace. I took a long time to say grace. but I wanted to read it because I didn't want to give you the answer. I want to show us how to find the answer. And Paul talks a lot about grace. And so the goal, he says, I press toward the mark of the high calling. I press towards perfection. Knowing in the back of my mind, I'll never fully obtain it. And also being in mind that whenever I fall, God's grace is there to catch me. So there is no Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So when I do fall, when I do mess up, it's like I don't stay there. I don't say, like Paul said, do we continue in sin so that the grace should increase? No. But once I do fall, I say, Lord, thank you. I acknowledge the grace. Say, Lord, thank you for your grace that catches me when I fall. Help me now, by your grace, by your spirit, to do what I'm supposed to do, to walk and to continue towards that path. That's a, bro, you need a question, man. I'm going to go ahead. You be asking some great questions, bro. Anybody else? I know I talked for like 10 minutes. So
now it goes back to when you were saying pressing towards, right, the upward call. So before that, he says, not that I have already obtained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me, right? So, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. This is Philippians 3:12-14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward
to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, right? So even Paul there is mentioning, and we know Paul wrote half the New Testament. And he's saying, not that I've already, right. y'all see what I've done, but not that I've already obtained or have arrived at this place. I'm still pressing toward the mark, as Kevin had brought out earlier.
Yeah.
You said something like, Star, you said this is something, reading the Bible is something that you know you need to do. And you said because you could tell that we're deep in our word.
Yeah, I'm 17 days behind on my devotional. It's fine. If we're counting.
But that's fine. That's fine, grace. Bro. I want us to keep in mind, even with that, is that we are the first Bible that people read.
Yeah.
We're the first Bible that people read.
Mm.
And you know, you also said that you were looking for a church home, right? Yeah. Most of the time, the reason why somebody even attends church is because they've experienced you outside of church.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? And so we're talking about carrying the presence, right? And so if I don't bring the presence with me, people will never come into the church.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want us to be careful too, like that we're not so deep into the word, because carrying the presence looks like being authentically you.
Yeah. That's good.
So let's not hold ourselves to the unrealistic standard that we all have to be Bible scholars, yeah. right? We don't have to yeah. be. We don't all have to be so versed, so like I can quote it like back of my hand. We don't. That comes with time. Yeah. That comes with time. That comes with time well spent. That comes with making time for Him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we have to be careful, right? So that we don't make Jesus seem like He's so out of reach, because He's near, right? Yeah. And it's all up to our decision to seek Him. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. He's the key to everything, right? Go ahead.
Yeah. To piggyback off what you just said, and also not being in a comparative state between the way Kev just bring that word out. He just opened the Bible and it just turned right where he needed it to go. Like,
nah.
The time spent, though, the time that Kev spent, wherever you have come in at, you said something. I'm exposing the huddle a little bit that we had earlier.
That's cool.
But you said meet people where they are. So you may be looking at where Kevin is, starting a podcast in the middle of a part to be able to talk about the Word of God. You like, bro, I can't even talk to the person next to me. But start there.
Yeah.
You don't have to be at this position or this title or whatever the case may be. Start with what you know. Get one. If it's one scripture that you know, like the back of your hand, get that one. And when somebody come up to you, I'm gonna tell you Proverbs 3:5. Right. Trust in the Lord and lean not. I don't care what the conversation was about. I'm gonna bring it right back to Proverbs 3:5, because that's what I have right now. That's what I have an understanding of. So I may not be able to go through the whole Bible, right? Not saying that I'm not trying to get there or understand the word, but in this season, this is the word that I have, and this is the word that I can bring it into any conversation,
mm-hmm.
because this is the word that you have given me for this time. So not comparing my walk to anyone else's.
Because all you have is all you need, too. Like, you're equipped for the season you're in right now, right? So you have that one scripture memorized. Use that one scripture. That's it. Right, that's all you need
right now.
Use it
till you can't use it no more. Right. Let people be like, bro, dang, we get it. Yeah. Proverbs 3:5-6, I'll trust in the Lord. I got it. But to that, bro, yes, to that point, bro, one of the ways you can memorize scripture is by teaching it. And when I say teaching, we learn and understand high so that we can talk low. Does that make sense? You learn in depth. So the stuff I learn, I'm not going to sit here and spit it out that way. Because the average person watching is not going to understand. That's too, you know what I'm saying? But it's because you learned it up high that you can bring it down. Does that mean?
Can I make that practical?
Yeah.
All right, so say a doctor, right? And you come into the doctor's office with the doctor, and he explains that you have the osmosis of the... I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because the doctor is not the doctor because it can explain it in the terms that he knows. He's the doctor because he can explain it on your terms.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, that's good.
Does that make sense?
That's good.
Okay, and so we have to be careful that we're only equipped to talk to people who can speak the same language as we do.
Mm. Does
that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Like we have to make sure that we're not only equipped to to people who can say God is good all the time. All the time, God is good.
Yes.
Everybody knows that cliche.
Yeah.
Right. But can you explain? Can you explain on a practical level? Because you don't know what you know until you can explain it to somebody who doesn't know.
Right.
When you can get them to understand what you know, that's when you know you understand.
That's it.
Right.
No, that's good, bro. Cause there's a lot of people that know a lot. Knowledge. Know the word. But it's like you spit it in a way, like you give it to people in a way they can't understand it. It's of no fruit. Like it bears no fruit to them. And so sometimes I see people and it's like and the Bible said this, da da da. No explanation. Yeah. It's just you gave it to them. And some for some people it is like it's a power thing. It's like I know more scripture than you. Yeah. It's a powerful thing. And it's like, yo. Even Jesus said, yo, to these little children, become like one of these. If not, you won't even inherit the kingdom of God. You ever talk to a child? There's certain stuff you got to explain to them. You know it. As an adult, you know it. You can explain it to another adult in eloquence of speech and, you know, all these articulate words. You give it to a child. You say, hey, here's this. You make it understandable to them. And so sometimes we try to be so deep and it's like, it's no use.
Even in our personal journeys, right? Not just communicating to other people, because I just use Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Although I may have an understanding now in this season, if I can't be so prideful that I say, oh, Proverbs 3:5, I got that.
Yeah, right.
I got that scripture. Because trusting looks different depending on the season that I'm in. Trusting looks different when all the bills are paid versus when I don't know where the next meal is coming from.
Yeah.
So now, until I'm in that situation, until I'm in that season of life, this word looks a little bit different depending on where I'm at and the vantage point that I see it in. That's what makes community so important, because I can read trust in the Lord and I'd be like, yep, you got to trust God. And Clyde be like, if you knew what I was going through, how can you even tell me what trusting God looks like? So we can't be so prideful in the fact that, okay, I've read Genesis to Revelation. I know the word.
Facts.
You knew it in the season that you read it.
Or you read it. Now I don't know about to know. It takes a lifetime to know.
Yeah.
We'll never know the depths, the depths of God's work, the unsearchable riches of God. I ain't gonna cut you off. You can still have more.
Go.
I'm just saying, like, let's talk about, I'm so off course, we're supposed to be somewhere else, we're going to keep going. We talk about knowledge, right? There's levels of knowledge. There's four types of knowledge in the Bible, and I'm going to go through them. But basic knowledge is, I know what a plane is. It goes up, comes down. I have no way of understanding how a plane works. That's not me. I don't know. So I know what it does. I don't know how it does it.
Yeah.
I also have never flown a plane and actually experienced how it works. So there's head knowledge, and there's also, I'll just focus on the two, head knowledge, but then experiential knowledge. Yeah. Trusting the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own understanding is great head knowledge until I have a situation in which I have to trust God and lean on him. Right? Now I'm like, it was sounding real good when I was quoting every day. But I have to make it, it has to become real to me through experience. Yeah. And so there's depths of scripture that you might have memorized that you still don't have. Gnosko is the word, which means a deep knowledge, like a intimate knowledge where it actually has understanding. There's so many things in the Bible I have memorized, but I don't have understanding of.
What's that quote you always say, like knowledge without application is what? What is it?
Information.
Okay.
Without application. Is insufficient.
Yes, sir.
Basically, like out of what scripture is it?
Give me the line.
Jesus, you put me on the spot, bro.
I'm sorry. It just came to mind, bro. Go ahead.
Faith without works is dead.
Thank you.
Faith without works is dead. So faith being the information that you have about God, who God is, right? Works being the application behind what you know about God and what he's gifted you to do. So the information of the word of God without the application of actually doing, being hearers of the word but not doers of the word.
Yee.
Okay.
I was going to take it somewhere else, and I lost my train of thought. So, but yeah, so information without application is insufficient. So meaning what I have learned, being able to apply and do that thing. But also, I think getting back to what you were saying, it's taking the familiarity out of our experiences, because I may go through the same exact experience in life that God brought me out of. And sometimes we do need to think back on those things, how he brought us out of this situation, right? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, right? So I can look back at that experience and say, nope, God, I know you will provide. But at the same time, that can be a hindrance to our journey. Moses, speak to the rock versus strike the rock. Moses struck the rock the second time when God told him to speak to it, because it was familiar for him to do it, because God came through this way. So sometimes we think that it's going to happen X, Y, Z every single time. But no, God, or A, B, C. Mm-hmm. We may think it's A, B, C. God is saying A, D, back to B.
Yeah. Forget the former things.
So we can't allow the familiarity of God get in the way of the sovereignty of God. We've become too familiar with his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So are his ways higher than ours? Right? And so, we, as you said, we can never figure God out. If we could figure God out, why do we need God?
Facts. And I think you pointed this out. I mean, you just said it, but like, this was like a while ago, like last summer, when you were talking about forget the former things. And you were talking about like, even the good things. And he said, like, we always think, you know, forget the past, forget your sin and your shame and all that stuff is behind you. But Paul also encourages us, forget the good things that you did, because it's done. Yeah. You'll sit and get so focused on the stuff you already did that you're like, well, okay, last time I did it this way, and I prayed with them, and I laid a hand like this, and then they fell out, and then it was like, okay, that's he did. They gave it like the gray, right? Yeah, okay, that's how it happened last time. Follow the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to you right now? Because we'll be so GPS phone, right? You ever have put something in your phone and it tell you to go a certain way that you like, I've been there before. The way I normally go is this way. But you don't know the traffic that's right there. And so sometimes where the Holy Spirit will be your GPS and tell you, I know you know this way is familiar. I know you've been this way before. But if you go this way, it's either going to be shorter or it might be longer, but you might get there safely. You might, whatever the case is, the point is, follow the Spirit. Don't follow what you used to do.
But we trust patterns, though. You know, as human beings, we're creatures of habits. Well, and so we bring that into our relationship with God. And so because he's made a way for me in this way, I trust, right? And so, but then I don't understand when it's not happening the same way. It's like, oh God, where you at?
Yeah.
But what you did is put your trust in the pattern that happened. You didn't put your trust in God.
Yeah.
You know? And so trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's different when the pattern changes. You know?
When the pattern changes. My God.
We formalizing God's power. If I do this, if I pray and fast for 2 days, then God will answer my questions.
Yeah.
He'll give me the knowledge I need.
You try to pimp him.
Ooh.
We try to prostitute him. Like, hey, look.
If I do this.
I give you 3 days. You feel me? Come through for a brother. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do. And then we treat him like he's a genie in the bottle. Like he's going to give us what we need, what we want all the time, the way we want it. And we try to like make sure that he answers us in a timely manner. Like, all right, God, I'm gonna give you a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how he moves.
I'm gonna give you this 21 day fast.
Okay.
Right. And look, at the end, I better have everything.
Everything.
I need to come out with all knowledge.
Yeah. That's crazy. We try to do that to God, like.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is, one, we're limiting him. Mm-hmm. We're putting him into a box. To like, God, I only trust you in this space. In this space.
Yeah.
I trust this pattern that you got for me, God. I mean, I'm comfortable in this pattern. I'm comfortable in this box that you have. But we don't know that we're just limiting him. And so, I'm going, all right, I'm going to go here. Like, and so when we limit to him, when we limit him, right, we say that you can, we can be selective with our surrender. Like, we can be like, we're like, God, you can come in, but you got to stay right here, right? Just like a guest in your house, right? Okay. Like a guest in your house, right? There are some places your guests can't go. You stick to the living room and the bathroom. Don't go in my room.
Don't go in my fridge.
Okay? Okay? That's what we do with God. Like, God, you can come in my living room, but don't go in my closet. Don't look under my bed. Don't look under the rug. You know what I mean? That's what we do. So when we put God in a box, right? Our faith is going to be in that box, right? Now, I don't have an outside of the box way of faith, because I can only trust him in this box, in this specific area.
I think, Star, you had something.
Well, first, I would just like to say I don't like how you called me a spiritual pimper.
Hey, we all been there.
It's for me, because I know I do struggle with, I'll see a pattern and I'm like, okay, so this is what I have to do, and God will come through for me. And then when it doesn't like work out in that way, because it's never really going to work out in that way because there is no pattern, I kind of get like thrown off, and I'm like, what? I'm trying to look for something new and be like, oh, like, how do I make this work to get God to work in my life again? So how do you, one, break out of that mindset, and two, yeah, just how do you break out of that mindset? Because I know that I do struggle with that, because I'll see a pattern. Like, I'm very just pattern focused, and I like my numbers, and things have to add up. Even me kind of making this move down to Charlotte was me telling God, hey, I'm not going to walk by sight. I'll walk by faith, and I'll let you handle everything that comes my way. And he's been taking care of it. But like, sometimes the anxiety and thoughts of like the enemy start to kind of creep in. So how do we fight against that other than just sticking in the word? Or we're going back to the word. All right.
Yeah,
no, that's fine.
We always can go back.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. No, I got you.
I want you to answer this, but I feel like y'all can make this practical, Che and Kevin. But you have to have the obedience to follow, yet the flexibility if it changes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm following your word. Like, I'm obeying what you said, but. Okay, if you say go left, all right, let's go left. Even though the original plan was for me to go right. But if you say go left, right, because sometimes we can get stuck in what he said and not what he's saying. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, y'all answer that, though.
Nah, you good, bro. Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think one thing is what's happened in the past. So I know we're going back to the Bible. Yeah, I'm like, Bible, everything's the Bible. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Welcome to a Christian podcast. examples, like Che kind of quoted it, but when God told Moses to speak to the rock, first time he gave him instruction, strike the rock. And so he said, speak to the rock. And what is Moses speaks to it and it doesn't work. So he goes back to, last time he told me, strike it. So I'm going to strike it. And that's what he did. And so because of that, he forfeited his inheritance to the king, to the promised land. That's an example to show you, okay, what God said today, he's always speaking new, right? So he's always giving new instruction, giving fresh revelation. And so if God told me this today, cool, but let me not take that as this is every day, all day, 24/7. This is the rule. It's like, that's what he said today. He might say something tomorrow, totally different. Yeah.
Back to the word.
You know how we do.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So when life looks like this and it's very unstable for us, we have different things going on in our lives, right? The fluidity of life, ups and downs, hills and valleys, our faith has to remain in that place of, God, you are faithful. Although I don't see it based on my perspective of what is happening, all things work together for the good of those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So having that perspective lets me know that regardless of if I'm up, if I'm down, I've learned Philippians, right? I've learned how to be abased and abound. That is where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not about being able to do whatever I want to do. It's learning how to be content in every season, content with financial blessing and trying to figure out where the job is. God, you're still good. Mm. God, you're still faithful.
Mm. Okay, let me ask this for y'all, everybody out here. Would you guys like it if we made it to where it's like everybody talking? Like you could just jump in. Because here's what I'm realizing, going back to the word. Jesus stands up and he says to them, all who are thirsty, come to me. Whoever believes in me, out of them flows a river of living water. So for those that walk in the spirit, there's a that's why we be up here so excited, because it's like it's the well of the Holy Spirit, and it's the water of the living water of Jesus that when you live in a certain posture and when you seek the face of God, it's like there's nothing. It's like, bro, you be sitting here like, yo, I can't. You ever been somewhere and like you in church and you like, yo, I want to just, if I could just add, like, and it's like that's because God's stirring in you. You know what I'm saying? And so I think we're going to have some days where we like come out and just like everybody just free flow talk, because I love hearing the different perspectives, because there's four of us up here, but that's only four perspectives. It's so many different. We're the body of Christ. Yeah. Each person is a different part of the body. And so nobody's perspective is complete without the others. Does that make sense? And so we're gonna figure out how to do that. I'm excited for that. You got any questions, Star? You got anything? You got any comments?
No. Comments? I would say that.
Or revelations from the Lord?
Yeah. Since you do ask, because I was thinking that as we were sitting here, even though I know I'm not supposed to compare my journeys, I do know that me kind of diving deeper in the Bible is something that I do need to do. This has honestly been that word for me. If we're talking revelations,
That's dope. And that's why, again, the body of Christ is so important to have fellowship and to be amongst one another, because it stirs up a deeper hunger. Like Star, you kind of feel like, I should be, right? And there's people I'm around, and I'm like, I'm tripping. Like,
do I even read
for real? No, for real. Like, I'm like, what? I thought I knew a little something. But, and there's always, until you die, like, there's always going to be somebody that knows it more, that has it a little bit more, you know, locked in or just experienced. And so that's why it's important to be around those other believers, because it's not for comparison's sake, but it's for encouragement. Like, I'm encouraged when I get around other believers. I'm like, let me get in my word a little bit more. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not so I could be better, but so that we can, as a body of Christ, be more equipped to walk out the call that we've been called to walk out.
And another thing on you saying kind of being equipped, just even in all my questions, how everything kind of referred right back to the Bible, and you guys were able to pull out a verse, just kind of goes to show how powerful the Bible is for a book that's been around for 2,000 or however many years it's been around for.
Bruh, the Bible got everything you need. Like, we say that, you know, everything's in the Word. Like, I've never come across a circumstance and haven't at least been able to find it in principle in the Bible. That's good. And I never will, because it's all-encompassing. It is. God said, Chase says this all the time. He'd be like, yo, if God speaks something to us, it's a privilege. Because everything that he possibly could have needed to give us, he gave you right here. So at the moment that he actually says, hey, yo, Clyde, do this. Not, hey, yo, Clyde, he praying. My son. No. Let me not. Right. Man of God. Man of God. Why even the D in it? When he says that, yo, Clyde, go this way instead of go that way, that's a privilege. Because everything he needed to give you is in his word.
You said a revelation you got is that you need to get your word, and I love that. But I don't know. I just feel the need to say, like, because Kev was talking about the body of Christ. We all have different parts of the body, right? Everybody can't be the mouth. Everybody can't be the eyes. Everybody can't be the hands. Mm. Be secure in the way that God gives you whatever body part that you are. Like, be secure in that. Be secure in that lane that you are in. Mm. Right? I think that has to be important, right? Because when we are secure in whatever function that we're supposed to be in, that's when we can be the body of Christ. That's when we can move things along. Because I'm secure. Like, man, and then also, a lot of times, we feel like the significance of our gift or talents is based on how big or small it is. Y'all, a spark plug in a car.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever seen a spark plug? I know I see a lot of ladies in here, but fellas, okay?
The ladies too.
Okay, my fault.
Let me save you before they...
Forgive me, okay?
He said ladies don't know about cars.
I'm new here, okay? But no, like, a spark plug is really small, right? But try to start a car without it, right? Mm. If I go back to the body part, right? Your pinky toe.
You better be the best left
man,
pinky toe
pinky
you can
toe
be.
Your pinky toe is small, right? But try stubbing it. The whole body shut down. Okay? Ain't nothing funny.
You got an attitude.
Got an attitude now. I'm saying whatever I want now.
Yeah, you
God
angry.
Forgive me. Okay? Because I didn't know that was still there. Okay?
Right. He's still working.
He's still working. He's working. Okay?
Yes, he is.
Y'all crazy. Well, be secure in the way that you shine. Be secure in the way in your lane and what he gave you, right? Mm-hmm. Because if not, man, you're going to compare yourself, right? You're going to compare yourself to everybody else, right? And I think because we are the church, right? I think what happens is, and even in the context of a building of a church, right? I think what's going to happen, what needs to happen, is that the greeter has the same influence as the one who's speaking, right? Mm. If I can speak a word to you just by smiling at you, right? Whatever that is, yeah. Right? I think that shows how effective we are. No matter where you are, you can give a word. You can help somebody along. You can be encouraging, right? Because sometimes it shows up as a smile. Sometimes it's a hug. Yeah. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement, right? And so whatever that is that God has given you, use that, right? I know a lady at my church. I honestly look forward to seeing her. Nobody else, for real. I'm like, okay, as long as I see her, I'm good, right? Yeah. Because when she hugs me, it's like I literally feel the love of God. Like, I'm like, man, you don't even know how much I needed that hug, right? Mm-hmm. You may be that hug for somebody. You may be that smile for somebody, right? You asking, like, what's going on, right? You don't have to be deep like the Lord said, You ain't gotta be like that. Right. Like, man, you know, everything is gonna be okay, bro. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, where that came from, but everything's gonna be okay. You don't even know what that could be, what they needed to get them along. You know what I'm saying? So show up and be authentic and be secure in whatever God has given you.
Yes, sir.
It's being a carrier of God's presence.
Yes, sir. Tied it back.
Tied it back in. Okay.
Because we got lost in the song. Like, we was all everywhere, but we still in the same vein. But, there's so many. Okay. Sometimes being led by God, this is for somebody, is not doing something. Sometimes we always God, what do you want me to do? Sometimes He don't want you to do nothing. Like, sometimes God is saying, be still and know that I am God. I'm fighting for you on your behalf in this thing. Or sometimes this is for my over preparers or my people that, like, if you feel like everything got to be perfect, sometimes He says no, because in your striving for perfection and for everything, you miss what He actually wants you to do. So, like, even as I was preparing for this episode, normally I write a long list of questions just so that I have some stuff to pull from, and I just felt led not to write anything. So I was like, you just want me to get up in front of the people, just a couple of scriptures, and just, yep. And so, again, this is all I know is us three were going to be on here. I didn't know that Star was going to be there. And so as I'm walking today, I see him. I'm like, he asked questions way better than, more practical than what I probably would have came up with, because I'm just thinking on a whole different, I'm just like, you know, I'm thinking KJV, like, yeah, listen. And so he's asking questions that, like, what do people actually want to know? And so, again, sometimes in your not doing, you are doing exactly what He called you to do.
To tie this back into presence, too. A lot of time, you just being there.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. It's got to be. Hey. Yes, sir.
Congratulations. Yes, sir. Congrats. Like, they can hear us.
Right. Shout out to y'all.
Right.
Hallelujah. So just tying that back into the presence, right? And you, Kev, you just said sometimes you don't, that means doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your presence is enough, right? Just being there for people is enough, right? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything, but you just being there helps, right? And you can tell, because I feel like somebody's asking the question, how do I know if I carry the presence of God? Other people will tell you. They'll be like, that's something about you. I can't even explain it.
It's like, I just like it.
You know what I'm saying? I just like you. It's something about you. I like you. You know what I mean? You're different.
You're different. Okay. You're just different.
That's how you know.
Nah, I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's what it is.
They're attracted to the Jesus inside you.
Yeah.
And they should be. Right? Because your light should be contagious. Your light should be contagious. Y'all, I mean, y'all really, you can look at me.
I know, we be gassing. He be like, ah.
I was like, what am I going to say? But your light should be contagious. People should be able to catch the light, and a spark should flow, and they be light too. You know what I mean? So, does that make sense?
When you just said this, right? Light, darkness. It's going to come out how it comes out. I'll try to fix it later. Light is something. Darkness is nothing. Does that make sense? Like, darkness is not a thing. You can't add darkness to anything. Darkness is just an absence of light. So, in those places, in those people, in those environments where there is darkness, that's not because there's just an abundance of evil.
Yeah.
It is, but it's an absence of light, which is why we as Christians are called to go into the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are what? The light of the world is what the Bible says. And so it's like, bro, He made it so clear to us. Be the light. And how do I be the light? I got to know the light. Because I can't carry something I don't have. And I can't care, and I can't have something if I didn't go to the source of it. Like, I talked about at the very beginning of the episode. Right. The boy, girl, what y'all got?
Oh, I just said, y'all got this?
Is a girl loving this side? Okay. Okay. Right. Completion. I said at the beginning of the episode, when your parents used to come home with all the groceries and you got to get the stuff out the car, they had to get it. You had to get it from your parents. You had to go get it from your parents, right? You got to get his presence from him. So I had to go to him and I had to seek his face and I had to say, Lord, that's a prayer that I pray daily. Lord, let me be a carrier of your presence. Help people to see you when they see me. And so, going to the source, man.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was just thinking, like, we have to stay plugged in, right? Try turning on a lamp without no electricity, without it being plugged into the socket, right? What keeps us from, what keeps our light flowing is staying plugged into to him, like spending time with him, reading our word, right? Communing with him, having a relationship with him. That keeps us plugged in. That keeps our light sparking, right? Yeah. Because when we unplug, we are dim. Mm. When we unplug, we can't turn on. And, you know, you ever heard, stay ready so you ain't got to get ready?
Facts.
So now, okay, in season, out of season. Come on, that's the word.
Yeah,
okay? Right? And so whenever I'm unplugged, whenever it's time for me to turn on my light, I don't have it. You ever had these lighters? I mean, you know, okay.
For lighting candles.
Judge your mom.
For lighting candles.
Lighting candles. Candles. Okay. Amen. Did you ever try to you ever try to spark? You know what I'm saying? It's just not.
Yep.
If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. If you stay plugged into the source, then you can always be able to turn on. Right? And so, going back to what we were saying, like being carriers of the presence. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, we are going to be asked to turn on the light. And if we are not plugged in, we are not going to be able to turn on. So, stay plugged in.
Okay. All right. I was just looking through the scriptures I had. There's a reason why you can go to certain people and they just talk about God like this. It's because they live like that. They always, like we said earlier, the best way to learn the Bible is to teach it. So if you're around me enough, you'll know what I'm reading. Like, you'll hear it, because I'll be, like Chase said, I'll throw in the scripture. It won't have nothing to do with nothing. You'll be like, yo, I was just telling you I had a good day. I was like, yeah, but did you know that, like, out of him who believes, like, rivers of living water will flow? It's like, cool, bro. But that's part of my learning process, is when it comes to, like, learning and understanding information, teaching is the highest level. So if you can teach something, that means you've understood it enough to have learned it, grasped it enough to show somebody else. And so do that. Like, you get that scripture, hey, yo, bro, hey, man, I know we watching the game, but hey,
Ephesians,
right? Hey, but did you know that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world? It's like, bro, what?
The way he carrying the rock, he is definitely the light of the world right now.
Right.
God is glorified.
Just find a way to throw it in, like, because it helps you. And again, you, all scripture is God breathed. So you might be just, I don't want to say practicing, quote unquote practicing, or trying to memorize, but that really might be the thing that somebody needed. They like, thanks. You tapped in. You like, yeah. But it's all about just being consistent and staying in that place. Cause any of us up here, you start talking to us about God, it makes us light up, because that's what we love to do. So, yeah. Any time this episode was saying, cool. Any closing remarks? There was a lot of stuff I had, like, in my head that we was going to talk about that we really didn't. I think it's cool, though. We'll do, like, a part two. I think the way we just talked was beneficial. You ain't got no more questions?
I'm good.
You sure?
Positive.
All right. I do want to read. Right. So. Knowledge. Last thing. Knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I know we've been talking about reading the Bible and all this stuff and that, cool, blah, blah, blah. But here's what it says. I often read that and quote that part. But the other day I looked at it and I was like, I don't read that part after that. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. What is a priest? A priest is somebody, a minister, ordained by God to stand in place of God for the people. And so let's break that down to us. Because we haven't read our Bible, because we haven't did the seeking that we were supposed to do, he says, well, I've rejected you from being my priest. I've rejected you from being a carrier of my presence, in other words. And so I know we've been talking about read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, but it's not a small matter. This is what this is how we live. And so, you know, it says, in him I live and move and have my being. Him, he is the word. And so let's put it in the Bible. By the Bible, I live and move and have my being. And so I say that, and I also want to counter it with take it one step, one day at a time. If you just memorize the scripture a day, I don't even want to do that. Let's go slower than that. If you memorize a scripture a week, you'll have 52 scriptures by the end of this. You're doing better than most Christians. Let's be real. If you have 52 scriptures memorized by the end of the year, you're doing way better than the average Christian. And so just say that. This week, I'm going to memorize this scripture. And there's certain scriptures as you start to read the Bible that really just tug on your heart. Like, all script, I love all, you know, I love the Bible, but there's certain scriptures that in each and every one of us, it's like God has almost intertwined them with your spirit to where it's like the moment you begin to read it and meditate on it and memorize it, it's like you begin to light up and it's like you're fueled by it. And so find those certain ones. Different people have different callings. And so there might be certain scriptures that you're more inclined to memorize because that's part of your calling, right? This might be certain scriptures that you might be called to memorize because you do this or you do that, or God's created you to speak to these people, and so you're gonna need this scripture to help you do that. And so don't feel like, man, I don't know anything. Just take it one day, one step, one scripture at a time, and let God do the rest, because the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. So you good? Dang, this is good. I could do this like 3 hours for real, but I ain't gonna do y'all like that. I do want to pray. I do want to pray. I know I'll just be sitting there looking around at y'all. Y'all be like, what are you looking at? I'll try to think and pray. But I do want to pray for salvation, right? Because all of this I'm speaking doesn't matter if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so whether you're here, outside, whether you're online, listening or watching, if you know that you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know, like, if it all ended right now, if you don't know that you would be in heaven, salvation is your portion, right? Jesus came, he died. This is the gospel in 30 seconds. We're all sinners. At the moment that we sinned, we were uneligible to receive the kingdom of God, uneligible to receive heaven. And so what God did is sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to be the Lamb of God, to be the sacrifice on our behalf. And it's because of our belief that he came, died, rose on the cross on the third day. It's our belief and our confession of that that grants us salvation. And so it's not super deep. It does take a lifetime to walk out, and as Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but it's that easy to accept Jesus, to understand that, let me turn from my ways. I don't want to, that's the other thing. Most time when we're in sin, it's like, we know it's not where we belong. Like, you're doing it and you're living it and you're trying to find a way to keep justifying how to do it. But it's like, at the end of the day, in the back of your mind, you know, I'm not built like this. Like, I belong to God. And so that's you. I just want to say a prayer for you. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We bless you, God. We honor you, God. And so if that is you, if you do want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just repeat this prayer after me and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner. and I acknowledge that you are Savior. And I make you my Lord and Savior.
I make you my Lord and Savior.
I repent and turn away from my sins.
I repent and turn away from my sins.
And I run to you, Jesus.
And I run to you, Jesus.
Thank you for your perfect love.
Thank you for your perfect love.
Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins.
Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins.
Lord, I give you my life.
Lord, I give you my life.
I give you everything I have.
I give you everything I have.
And I choose to follow you. For the rest of my days.
For the rest of my days.
It is my belief and my confession in this.
It is my belief and my confession in this.
That I am saved.
That I am saved.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So if that's you, if you're out here, definitely come holler at us afterwards. We definitely want to celebrate. If that was you online or watching, leave a comment that says, I gave my life to Christ today. And let us know, because that's not a small thing. Like, giving your life to Christ is the biggest, greatest, most long-lasting thing that you could ever do. And so we want to just take a moment to celebrate that with you. But I appreciate you all for listening, for watching, and I want you to remember to make today worth living. Peace. Hey, studio audience clap. I like it.